You're not tiring me out. All right. It's good to be here. Just let me say a few things. Your church is beautiful. Your church is clean. Your pastor wears a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week halo. And he's my friend, and I appreciate so much being here, being asked to come. I tell you, preacher, it's not easy to walk away from your church. You know, I was 35 years old when I started it, and the only church I ever pastored. I started Bible college when I was 30, and graduated when I was 34. I was going to go to Sydney, Australia as a missionary, had my full support. God didn't want us there. Couldn't get a visa. We tried Australian consulate in Chicago and then in New York. Couldn't get a visa. We didn't know why. And I went to talk to my preacher, Dr. Paul Vanneman, and I said, Pastor, I said, what do I do now? He says, look for another open door. I said, do you know of one? He says, yes. He says, I was born and raised in Salem, New Jersey. He says, New Jersey has one-sixth the size of Michigan, has 10 times the people. And he asked me, he said, do you like to hunt? I said, what? He says, Jim, do you like to hunt? I said, yes, sir, I like to hunt. I like to hunt. And he said, do you think if you took a gospel gun out there and fired a couple of rounds, you'd hit somebody? And I said, yes, sir. And so I came out in 1975 and never left. So we've been here 40 years. I still say water. I challenged our people when I got our church started. I says, sing this song, drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, soul to satisfy, drinking at the springs of living water. You folks say water or water?
Water.
Water. Well, Mickleton, New Jersey, man, they say water. Want to take a water? You know. But this is where God called us, and God's been good to us. He made mention of my daughter, Tia. Her husband's now the pastor of Kingsway Baptist Church, Joshua. But Tia is our youngest daughter. We have five daughters and five sons. And when we moved to New Jersey, she was 6 months, 7 months old. And now she's the pastor's wife, and they have 4 children. And she's 40, because we've been there 40 years, and she was 7 months old when we started. And now they're there. And God's been good, okay? People say, how come you have such a large family? We have 5 daughters, 5 sons, 32 grandchildren, and 9 great. Well, what's my name? Fish running schools, you know. So that's what I just tell everybody. Fish running schools. So God's been good to us. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. But honestly, you have a beautiful church. Appreciate you, preacher, and your family, and your testimony here. You say you've been here 25 years, 23 years. Feels like 25, though, right? Just kidding. But honestly, you have a beautiful church, and it's an honor for me to be here. We just flat out retired. I was going to give my life there, but I think I have. But I asked a preacher one time. I graduated from college with a couple of preachers, and one of my he retired from his church up in Rhode Island. And I says, Tom, I said, when you give birth to a church, how can you just leave your church? And all he said to me, he says, Jim, he says, the only thing I can say to you is when the time comes, you'll know. And I thought, well, that'll never happen with me. But the time has come. You know, you can't, when you get 75 years old, you can't do the things you want to. But I still feel good, you know, and my wife's still pretty. So as long as I'm walking with my wife, people think I'm young. So, I was really praying about it. And my son-in-law pastored up in New York for 9 years, and I called him one day and said, Josh, I said, I need to talk to you. Let's talk. And we talked, and he came on staff, was on staff for about a year and a half or so, and I finally told him, I said, Josh, I said, it's time. And I said, I don't understand it all, but I know that God's in this thing. And I said, it's time. And I our church went ahead later on and voted him right in unanimous, except for one, and I know who that one was. But it wasn't me. Well, I didn't vote. But turned that ministry over to him, It's not easy. We drive by the church. I don't go there. I told him, I said, Josh, when I retire, I'm not coming to your church. Now let me tell you why. Okay, this is my message, I'm not taking time out of my message. Yeah. Okay. Listen, we only got 2 days to go to get to 56. You going to make it or not? But anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, and the reason was I know a preacher, great preacher, okay? A great preacher. He retired after just almost 70 years at his church, but he never left, okay? And he sat, I went there one service and sat with him on the second row of the altar, big auditorium, sat in the second row right here. Never left the church. There's the preacher up there, good preacher. He'd been through two of them. The thing is, he was there. His office was still in the church. People would come to see him instead of the preacher that was here. And the pastor's wife still ran the ladies and the music and all that. And the church was just getting smaller and smaller, although the building was big. When I was praying about what God had me do about our ministry, God just laid in my heart, I mean, you've got to leave. It's hard to leave when you give birth to something. I mean, I watched every block being laid, bought the land, bought the block and all that stuff, and it's not easy leaving, but yet there's a peace there. And I didn't know what we were going to do. We just retired on September the 6th. I've already had a week-long revival in another church, and good to be here today, and whatever God has in store, that's what we want. But folks, whether God chooses anything else, that's up to Him. I'm just ready, and as I go around like today, I want you to be ready. I'm not here to entertain with a piano and singing. That I can't even read music hardly; it's all by ear. And if I make a mistake, it's going to be a whopper. No, it's going to be a whale. But a fish, you know. But God gave me that ability to just be able to get by, and I do that in the nursing homes and everything. And the people think I'm really a great piano player. I'm the biggest fake you ever saw in life, you know. But you ought to hear me play a boogie. You know, I can do those. No, I'm not saying, I'm just kidding you. But I'm not. I can't play those two. But that's all I knew before I was saved. But I love the Lord. I'm glad to be here. And like I say, honestly, you have a great church. You have a beautiful spot. My goodness. We got here early and looked out all over this place. It's beautiful. I said, boy, this is a beautiful place. You know. And so I'm just praying it's still standing when I leave. That's all. You know. Because I'm not here to cause a problem. I'm here to help. But thank you so much for asking me to come. And how are you feeling, by the way? Your health's okay? Your health's okay? Your mother-in-law still living? Neither's mine. But it's good to be here, honestly. Enough rambling, okay? Did I tell you what scripture yet? Jeremiah chapter 16, please. Jeremiah chapter 16. If you're here this morning, I want you to understand, if you're visiting the church or if you've just been here a few times or if you're members of the church, I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. I love winning souls to Christ. I love nursing home ministries and prison ministries and out the doors, door-to-door, street knocking on doors and stuff. I like all of that. I love preaching Christ and the salvation message. God's laid in my heart a message this morning that I believe that He wants me to give to you. I have another message tonight. I'll give you the title of tonight's message. When does the burden come? That's tonight's message. When does the burden come? You've heard people say, well, I don't have a burden for that, or I don't have a burden. You know, when's the burden come? I'll be preaching on that tonight. And covering various things with that. I hope you'll come, bring someone with you. But this morning, the reason God wants me to do this one is, if there's one thing preachers do, if there's one thing deacons do, Sunday school teachers do, church members do, wives do, husbands do, we complain. Oh, strike a chord, did it? Why don't we all sing together? Don't we? We complain. We complain. My question to you this morning is, I'll always give an invitation for folks to be saved. If you're here without Christ, man, we love the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you, gave His life for you. We want to see you saved. We want to see you come to Christ. But folks, if we're going to do the job for God, we've got to make sure we as Christians, our hearts are right. Not just with Him, but with everybody else. What are we complaining about? Listen to Jeremiah. I'll tell you about him in just a minute. But Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 1. The word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, this is to Jeremiah, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land, they shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. They shall be consumed by the sword, by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for beasts of the earth. For thus saith the Lord, enter not to the house of mourning. Holy mackerel, Lord. That's in the Fish translation. Excuse me, I shouldn't say that. Thou shalt not take a wife or have any kids. Verse 2. You can't go to the house of mourning, neither go to lament or bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even their loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them a cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and to drink. Holy mackerel, Lord. What are you telling Jeremiah? Jeremiah, I'm calling you, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you can't marry. Jeremiah, you can't have any children. Therefore, no grandchildren, no posterity. Okay? You can't marry, can't have any children. You can't go, if you have a mother, a father, or somebody die, you can't go to the house of mourning. So Jeremiah never had a funeral. And then he says, right down here, he says, you can't go to the house of feasting. Couldn't be Baptist. Huh? Can't go to the house of feasting to sit with them and to eat and to drink. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt show this people all these words that they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? But what is our iniquity? But what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods and served them, and have worshipped them and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into the land that ye know not, neither ye know your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, from every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all the ways, they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. And he goes on. Let me read to the end of the chapter. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the north and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they be no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, that they shall know that my name is the Lord. Heavenly Father, bless, Lord, these next few moments. Holy Spirit of God, give me wisdom in my preaching, Lord. Not to talk too fast, but, Lord, to listen to what you have to say, Lord, that we might learn from this. God, it sounds like America. We've turned our back on you as a nation. Every abominable, detestable thing is being done and being legalized. And Lord, you're not in their thoughts. God, I pray this morning you give me a message from my heart, Lord, that you've laid there. Because we as Christians, we want to gripe and complain. Help us not to do so. Help us to learn this morning. And Lord, should anybody be here that's not saved, may this message not turn them off, but may they realize where we live, how we're living, what the result of that's going to be if we do not trust in Thee. I love you, Lord. Guide this hour. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah, forbidden to marry, forbidden to take part in a funeral, not permitted to have a joyous occasion. In chapter 9, verse 1, chapter 13, verse 17, he is called the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. He's called the prophet of loneliness in chapter 16, verse 2. Loneliness. Jeremiah was also the reluctant prophet because he thought he was unable for the task God had called him to do. In chapter 1 and verse 6, let me read that to you very quickly, and I must hasten on here. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Okay? But the Lord said to me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Let me say something to you, folks. Jeremiah ministered for 40 years. How many years? I pastored 40 years at Kingsway Baptist, retired on that 40th anniversary. I did funerals. I did weddings. We had special parties. We had special revivals, special meals. Have a large family. I'll never be lonely. Think about it. I'll never be lonely. Not with 40 grandkids. But it's Jeremiah. He was lonely. Called the prophet of loneliness in chapter 16, verse 2. Thought he was unable for the task. And for 40 years, he was faithful. 40 years, he proclaimed God's judgment upon apostate Judah. Enduring oppositions, beatings, and imprisonments, God had called him. He never had one convert. Think about that. Never had a convert. No family. No wife to confide in, get comfort from. No feasting. No parties. No funerals. Just alone. And every message that Jeremiah preached was a message of God's judgment. Every message. It made people mad. He got punched in the mouth, blackened his eyes, thrown in dungeons. Obeying the call of God on his life. Chapter 11, verses 18 to 23, he was told not to prophesy in the name of the Lord, or else die by the hands of the men of Anathoth. That was in the land of Benjamin. In chapter 12, verse 6, his own brothers dealt treacherously against him, and they brought a mob against their own brother, Jeremiah. Chapter 18, verse 18, another conspiracy and determination not to listen to Jeremiah nor heed his prophesyings. Chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, Pashur, the chief governor of the house of the Lord, smote Jeremiah and put him in the stocks. Chapter 26, verses 1 through 24, the priests, prophets, and all the people, after he was done speaking of judgment to come, took Jeremiah and said, in verse 8, thou shalt surely die. Chapter 37, verse 11, through chapter 38, verse 28, Jeremiah was imprisoned after they smote him into a dungeon with no water, only mire. And chapter 38, verse 6, talks about, gives a verse of scripture about Jeremiah, the one whom God had called to prophesy against Judah. It says these words, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. There was a eunuch in the king's house whose name was Ebed-Melech. And Ebed-Melech told the king, Do you know what the chief priests of Sepher are doing to Jeremiah? They got him in a dungeon. Bread and water, nothing, just down there, just in the sinking in the mire. So, chapter 38, verses 10 to 13, the king sent 30 men to lift Jeremiah out of the dungeon. You know what they did to get him out? They took a bunch of old rags, let him down there to him. Told him, put those rags under his armpits. They lowered ropes down there. He put the ropes around under his armpit. And they lifted Jeremiah out of the dungeon. There's a reason, though, the king did it. The king was suffering defeat. The things that Jeremiah was prophesying were coming true. God's judgment was falling. In verses 14 to 16 of chapter 38, King Zedekiah asked Jeremiah a question, promising him life. Just tell him what the Lord had to say. In verses 17 and 18, Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord. Let me get there with you just for a second. I gotta go back. Chapter 38. Get back here, okay? Chapter 38, Jeremiah, chapter 38. Verse 16, so Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, who was the king, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. Okay? But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah, king of the king, said to Jeremiah, I'm afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee, obey. I beseech thee the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so shall it be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king's house, king of Judah's house, shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and prevailed against me. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So shall they bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause the city to be burned with fire. Then said Zedekiah to Jeremiah, listen to this, let no man know these words, and thou shalt not die. He said, Jeremiah, can you imagine what Jeremiah looked like? Can you imagine what Jeremiah smelled like? Jeremiah, tell me what the Lord has to say. King, if I tell you what the Lord has to say, you come. No, Jeremiah, I promise you, I won't kill you. I want to know what the Lord has to say. Please tell me what the Lord has to say. And Jeremiah says, fall into the hands. Okay, fall in the hands of the king of Babylon, right? Chaldeans, what is it? I can't remember right now. My mind just went blank. Okay. Do what God says, and your city won't be burned with fire. Your people will be spared. Just do what God says. If you don't do what God says, this is what's going to happen. Don't tell anybody what you told me. And he didn't obey God. Didn't obey God. Told Jeremiah, I'm afraid. King said, and Jeremiah told the king, just obey. He said, disobedience will result in captivity and your city's going to be burned. But the king says, don't tell anybody. Almost sounds like some leadership today. Chapter 39 is the fall of Jerusalem. For the next year and a half, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, fought against Jerusalem. Chapter 39, verse 6, King Zedekiah's sons were slain before his eyes. Zedekiah's eyes were then put out. Zedekiah, the king, was bound by chains. Zedekiah, bound by chains, blinded. His house and all the other houses were burned. Go to verse 8 of chapter 39. The walls of Jerusalem were razed. R-A-Z-E-D. That means they were flattened to the ground. The city was flattened to the ground. We've been there numerous times. You go to Jerusalem, and they got a place you can go there and you can look, and they've dug down where the wall is. They've dug down and there's windows there. They've dug down. There's the city, when it got destroyed, they just fill it in and build on top of it. It's everywhere like that. And the city was, walls were raised down. And the remnant of the people that were there were carried to Babylon. All because a king would not listen to God's man give God's word of God's judgment because of their rebellion against God. There were some poor people left behind. They didn't take the poor people, sick people. They left them behind. And when Jeremiah was given a choice to either go into Babylon or stay there, he stayed with those people that were the poor people. Chapter 39, verses 16 to 18, Ebed-Melech, that Ethiopian eunuch, proved his trust in the Lord by helping God's man out of trouble. He was given his freedom, just like God said he would. Go to chapter 42. The remnant of the poor people were left in Jerusalem. They come to Jeremiah, having learned their lesson the hard way. Jeremiah gives him God's instructions in the first verses 9 through 12. He gives him God's warning in verses 13 to 22 of chapter 42. Same kind of warning that he kept giving to the king. If they wouldn't obey. Go to chapter 43, verse 2. The proud men said, Jeremiah, you speak falsely. Can you believe it? All the devastation. All that went wrong. Their own king with his eyes put out and his children killed and his palace and everything burned. Here comes these proud men. Pride does go before destruction and the Holy Spirit before a fall, doesn't it? You speak falsely. And they took all the people and Jeremiah into Egypt anyway. Chapter 44 reveals to us exactly what sins the people had been doing all the time in Jerusalem while Jeremiah was preaching. Go to chapter 44 with me, please. This is what's taking place all those 40 years while Jeremiah was prophesying God's judgment. Okay, chapter 44, verse 16. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, for then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. Well, they left off to do what God told them to do. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to be told about it. They didn't want to listen to it. And because of that, God's judgment was falling. See? We've been consumed by the sword, by famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink? Did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? That means that they did it with their men. I wish I had time to read all of that, but I don't this morning. Chapter 44, verse 16. Jeremiah's prophesying and they said, we will not listen. Verse 28, the Bible says, yet a small remnant. By the way, God always has a small remnant when all else is gone. Okay. Now imagine with me. I got to start bringing this to a close somehow. All the work, the ministering, the prophesying, the fulfillments of God's judgments, just like Jeremiah said, yet not one response to the message. I asked the question, Jeremiah, how did you take it for 40 years? How could you stand? How could you be faithful for 40 years? Chapter 46, you prophesied against Egypt. Chapter 47, you prophesied against the Philistines. Chapter 48, you prophesied against Moab. Chapter 49, you prophesied against Ammon, Edom, and Damascus. Chapter, and also Arabian Elam. And chapter 50, you prophesied against Babylon. Jeremiah, how did you take it? Your message was against everybody. Go to the book of Lamentations, please, the very next book. Lamentation chapter 3. Get there myself, get my finger out of the way. Lamentation chapter 3. Look at verse 19. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Everybody had turned against him. Nobody would listen to him. He was mocked, he was beaten, he was imprisoned. God was great. Go to chapter 3, verse 58. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. The lips of those that rose up against me and their devices against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. Render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. You know, this is the book of Lamentations, but it's just the same thing like David when he gave imprecatory psalms. Every time he wrote an imprecatory psalm, it was a psalm of judgment. And here's Jeremiah, who realized the Lord is faithful to him. He tells the Lord, now judge him. Okay? Think about it. Jeremiah says, great is thy faithfulness. No wife? Great is thy faithfulness. No children? Great is thy faithfulness. Preach 40 years, not one convert? Great is thy faithfulness. Folks, what in the world do you have to complain about? We've been given salvation full and free. We have a completed Word of God here that tells us the whole story from the beginning to the end. It tells us where we're going to end up someday. It won't be in a dungeon. It'll be in heaven. By the way, folks, if it does, in my lifetime, if I have to go to a dungeon, or I have to go to jail for what I preach, he's still faithful. He's still great. What have I to fear? Huh? All they can do is kill my body. They can't kill my soul. What are we supposed to do? Preach about the Lord that can take both soul and body and cast them into hell. You want to be like a king? Rebel against God? Good luck! We really have nothing to complain about, but everything to sing about. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou faintest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever shalt be. He never changes. He's unchangeable. He's a great God. He loves us. Amos 4:12 tells us we're to prepare to meet our God. Are you ready? People didn't want to listen to Jeremiah's message, so God gave him a message of judgment because of the rebellion. Just preach judgment, Jeremiah. I'm going to judge him. King says, don't tell anybody. I'm saying to you this morning, please, folks, stop complaining. And get your whistle back. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it. I have a verse of scripture. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 89. I'm almost through. Oh, I'm good shape, right? Psalm 89. Psalm 89 and verse 15. Boy, I wish I could preach to another hour. I'm not kidding. I'm very, very serious. Okay, this is not my message tonight, but I'm going to just give you a highlight of something here. I just told you, stop complaining and get your whistle back. This verse of Scripture, Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. I don't know when it was. I don't remember when it was, just past year or so. I was at Ranch Hope for Boys visiting somebody there. And I was coming out of Ranch Hope for Boys. And as I was walking down the parking lot, I go, and I'm always whistling or humming or something. It's just me. I just. And somebody says, boy, that's a lost art. I look. I didn't know who he was. He says, I'm Dave Bailey Jr., Ranch Hope for Boys. I said, what's a lost art? He says, whistling. I said, I don't know why, because if you've got Jesus in your heart, you've got to have something to whistle about. I'm either whistling or humming or something. He said, that's a lost art. Folks, I'm trying to get your whistle back. The whole world's suffering right now. Everybody's having a problem. Everybody's fighting their battles like I did about the Giants in Sunday school this morning. Everybody's got their problems. But folks, we have so much to be happy about. We have so much to praise the Lord. Rejoice evermore. Huh? We sing the song, praise Him, praise Him. If everything's all right. No, that's not what we do. He wants us to, I want you to get your whistle back. I wasn't standing at the door tonight, this morning, and watching everybody come in and see if you had a smile or a frown. Huh? But I'll guarantee you, some had some frowns. I'll guarantee you this, most had frowns. Would you agree? I mean, Christians, unsaved alike, most people, everything's wrong, nothing is right, nothing is all right in my Father's house. They walk on their bottom lip. No wonder they're tripping all the time. We have so much to be thankful for. When's the last time you told somebody your salvation experience? You know, everybody gets saved the same way, but with difference in experiences. But you know, the only one way to be saved, neither is there salvation in any other, Acts 4:12. For there's none other salvation, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior. But folks, some of you walk on your bottom lip, you feel so sorry. Man, oh, I'm so sorry I'm going to heaven. I'm so sorry my sins are forgiven. I'm so sorry I can pray. I'm so sorry I'm married. No, you might be, but I hope you're not. Okay. But we have everything to rejoice about. God's been so good to us. You know, Jeremiah, how did you take it? Great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, my Father. Stop complaining. Get your whistle back. Let Jesus put a song in your heart. Let people that you want to talk to about Christ see Jesus in you. If they just watch you long enough and listen to you long enough, will they be convinced that there's a difference? Heavenly Father, I love you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord, for this thought today. Lord, what do we have to complain about? Nobody ever likes to hang around a complainer. Nobody ever wants to be like a complainer. All complainers do, Lord, is try to tear down this or tear down that or cause division or dissension somewhere. Because they're not happy, they want everybody else to be unhappy also. But the joy of the Lord is our strength, the psalmist tells us. And I pray, Lord, that as we walk out of this church auditorium this morning, that everyone can walk out with a skip in their step and a whistle in their lips and a song in their heart, realizing Jesus truly is their Savior. Oh, what a wonderful Savior you are, Lord. I don't understand why you even save us like you do or give us eternal life. Even after we're saved, we sin. Even after we say, we sometimes show that we're not proud, we're ashamed. We don't want our unsaved friends to know we're a Christian. Please, Lord, change our heart from the inside out. You wash us from the inside out, they'll see a clean person on the outside. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Lord, I'm so thankful that you showed mercy on me when I was 22 years old, raised in the Baptist church. My uncle was a pastor, but I was as lost could be. Although he baptized me when I was 12 years old, I came out of the water lost. Wasn't saved. But because of your mercy and your grace, when I was 22 years old, you came into my heart when I let you in. It's never been the same since. God, I pray this morning, if there's anybody in this church that knows not Christ as their Savior, may they not be looking at the chandeliers and the beautiful building and all that. May they be impressed with you, Lord, because you're in my heart. You changed my life. You've changed this preacher's life. You've changed the lives of these folks in this church that have trusted you. And help us, Lord, to live our life and walk our daily life with a smile on our face and joy in our heart, realizing somebody's watching us. Somebody's going to follow us. May we lead them to Christ. May they see Jesus in us. And like the songwriter wrote, may Christ be seen in me, O Lord. Let this my motto be. Please, Lord, touch hearts this morning, beginning with the saved. And Lord, as saved folks come to the altar to make some things right that have gone astray, may unsaved folks that are here come to this altar also, and let, if it's a man, let a man of this church or a lady, another lady in this church, show them what it means to be saved. It's not the name on the outside of the church. It's the Christ on the inside of the Bible. You're the Savior, Lord. I pray souls be saved, lives be changed. May you get all the glory and all the praise. We sure love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, come give the invitation, please. Come on, give the invitation.